Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. We're so glad you've joined us today. This is Sunday Morning Alive, because it's not a live service for when we meet together, but it is alive in that the sermon we're going to bring you, the scriptures are going to be the basis for the sermon that we share today. And Jesus said this about His words, His holy word. He said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to get some life-giving word in us today. Some instruction from the Word of God. Hallelujah. So stay with us today for just a little while out of the busyness of life. You've already taken time to come to hear a sermon on Sunday morning. That tells me something that God already knows, and that is that you have a heart that is hunger for righteousness, a heart that is hungry for righteousness. We have a promise to give you before we get in the Word. Blessed is he that doth hunger and thirst for righteousness, for he shall be filled not just with the Holy Spirit, of course that's available to us, filled with God, filled with Christ, filled with what we are hungry for, and that is to be truly right with God. Because if you're right with God, hallelujah, amen, the Bible said that God is for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? So the issue isn't today, amen, all of the myriad forces and powers arrayed against us as God's children. The issue is if God is for us. For if God is for us, He looks at all of these things that we see as so foreboding, so formidable, a foe that we are dealing with, and He said, "If I'm for you, nobody can prevail against you." That's what it means to be right with God. Of course, it also covers healing, and of course it covers making provisions for us, but above all, it's His protection over us and on us. A whole other message, but I think it's a good preface to this message. This message today, amen. And I want to make sure the title is something that will cause us to look for this particular principle as we go into the Word of God. Babylon or Zion, where is your heart? I'm speaking this to me before I'm speaking it to you. Where are our hearts as believers? Is it Babylon or is it Zion? Now, so you'll understand this, let's read from Psalm 137, 1 through 4. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Friend of mine, it's no wonder they couldn't sing the Lord's song, because now they were covenant people in captivity. Now, to understand the background of this story, remember the children of Israel had been carried away into captivity by the Babylonians. Now, the reason they'd been carried away was not because of their weakness, but because of their wickedness. I want to say that again. It wasn't because God wasn't for them when they were right with Him. Amen. It's because of their own sinfulness and compromise, because of their wickedness, They had fallen away from the living God. They had allowed their defenses to be broken down. And God used a pagan nation to bring them to their knees and break them into repentance. Now, He didn't want them destroyed, but He had to get them in a position of repentance, a posture of repentance, of wanting to be back right with God, amen, so that they would repent of their wickedness, repent of their sin, so God could forgive it and restore them. Remember, if a chastisement comes to you as a child of God, as a covenant believer, amen, new covenant believer, it is for the purpose of restoring fellowship that has been broken and restoring the blessing of that unbroken fellowship with God. Amen. Listen, it shouldn't surprise us because Babylon always leads to barrenness. Babylon always leads to bitterness. And Babylon leads to brokenness. That is, if you're a child of God, the only people who are happy in Babylon are the Babylonians. There's a sermon in that sentence, isn't there? Amen. The only people happy in the world are people that are of the world. Amen. And they're not truly happy. They're drinking up, toking up, shooting up, trying to dull their senses to the reality of the emptiness of living in a fallen world, in a faulty body, without God and without hope. Babylon in the Bible is a picture of the world in all its iniquity. It's a picture of the world in all of its idolatry. It's a picture of the world in all of its immorality. The name Babylon means confusion. Now, these people were in Babylon, but their hearts were in Zion. They were weeping because they remembered Zion. They could not get Zion out of their minds because Zion was deeply rooted in their heart. Praise God. If you're away from God, you've known Jesus as your Savior, you've drifted away from God, you're making compromises in your life that you know you shouldn't make. Amen. Friend of mine, this message today, hang on just a little while, because God wants to get His people out of Babylon and back to Zion. Praise God. One translator said Zion was imprinted upon their minds. Zion is another name for Jerusalem. The name Jerusalem means city of peace. There was a time when these people lived in God's capital city because they were right with God. They were holy because God was right with them. They were happy. Praise God. You know what the Bible says about happiness? It says, happy is the man who has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. And happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Listen, friend of mine, there will be no happiness, no matter how much wealth we accumulate, no matter how many much power, fortune, fame that may be granted us, we will never find happiness in a pleasure of a sin. We will never find for our flesh. We'll never find happiness with a person that will pledge their love to us. And listen, nothing in this world will make you happy until the Lord is in His proper place in your life. That is, that you are right with God, and God is now the source of your fulfillment and your joy and your peace, and therefore your happiness. Happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. Who has the Lord for his help? He that is right with God. Amen. If God be for us. That's what it means to be right with God. If you're right with God, God is for you. And if God is for us, who can be against us and prevail? In fact, the old covenant says no weapon. When you're right with God, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. Hallelujah. It's not our righteousness that the devil can pick apart. We're imperfect. We're certainly not sinlessly perfect. We are not sinful, but we are not sinless either. Amen. We're told that if we say we have no sin, we're not just disingenuous. King James is clear. We are liars and we're not telling the truth. We're not being honest. We're not being transparent. That's what made David a god. King David, a man after God's own heart. Amen. Because he was honest about his sinfulness. He repented and he said, he wrote that great psalm, "Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven," not who is sinless, but who is forgiven of sin. Amen. "Whose transgression is covered." When I held my peace, and Psalm 32 says, when I didn't repent, in other words, when I delayed my repentance, amen, he said, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long. Amen. If we go into wickedness and unrepentant until we repent of that sinfulness and that rebellion against God, the Bible said the wicked are like the troubled sea, the wind-swept sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt as deep as the sea is. The bottom is being affected by what's happening on the surface. Deep, deep, the billows on top are stirring up the bottom. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, unto the wicked. But great peace have they which love thy law. And if you embrace God's will, God's wisdom, seek to obey God's word, you'll never be sinlessly perfect this side of heaven, but you will be perfectly committed to the Lordship of Jesus in your heart and in your life. And if God sees that in your heart, He will help you with the weakness of your flesh. Guaranteed. If you are uncomfortable in Zion, I mean in Babylon, it's because you don't belong in Babylon. Praise God. You'll only be comfortable in the kingdom of God that He has brought you into through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are a believer in Babylon, there's an inescapable sadness. Listen to verse 1, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion." After all these years, over 50 years, I think going on 53 now, of pastoral ministry, I can tell you straight up, there are phony believers who do not have a problem with Zion on Sunday and Babylon the rest of the week. But I'm going to tell you something else. They're trying to find in the world what can only be found in God through Jesus Christ. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for fulfillment in all the wrong people and all the wrong situations of life, and sins in particular. When we remembered Zion, there was a great sadness in their heart. A.W. Tozer addressed this growing trend in this sobering statement. There is no happiness. There is no happiness. Listen to how he put it so succinctly today. Christianity is so entangled with the world that millions would never guess how radically they have missed the New Testament pattern. Compromise is everywhere. I want an amen to that. You've got eyes that can see, ears that can hear. You know how many people are departing the faith or are indicating through that they never embraced the true faith. The world has whitewashed just enough to pass inspection by blind men posing as believers. That's hard to hear, but it is true, friend. They don't miss Zion because they've never been there. They've never known true freedom. They're content to live in bondage to drugs, to sexual perversion, to all manner of addictions. They confuse going to church with coming to Christ. It's different with a true believer. Anyone who has truly been born again has become a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Indeed, therefore, Zion is imprinted on his or her mind, because Zion is imprinted upon their heart. So, friend, I want to submit to you today, there's no happiness, no contentment, no fulfillment, no hopefulness, no peace or true purpose without being right with God. We will always remember Zion, no matter how far we drift away, if we've ever truly been saved. Zion is imprinted upon our heart and mind, and that's a good thing. Oh, it makes us uncomfortable if we're not living, amen, where we're supposed to be living, in a reconciled and right relationship with God. Listen to what the Bible said. Oh, by grace you're saved. It doesn't matter what you do. Yeah, show me someone abusing grace and using it as a cover-up for sin, and I'll show you someone that is empty and hollow and unhappy. You'll only be happy when you're back where you ought to be, and that's right with God. I say it all the time. If I say there's nothing wrong in the midst of a sermon emphasizing this, my congregation, as small as it is, it will respond. They will respond. There's nothing wrong with being right with God. Hallelujah. Sin and compromise are always synonymous with the loss of joy, and therefore the loss of singing the songs of Zion. These believers in Babylon were not just sad because of where they were in bondage in Babylon. They were also sad for why that they were there. It's because they broke openly, willfully, God's commandments. They drifted away from Him, amen. And He allowed them to be overcome by their enemy, and now they're in bondage. But now for the good news. If you're a believer in Babylon, and you're experiencing the bitterness and the barrenness, and it will lead you to brokenness, and in that brokenness, amen, it'll lead you toward repentance. And repentance always leads to restoration. Praise God. He restoreth my soul, David said. David knew brokenness because of his sin, but he also knew the bitterness. Let me read that as we close today. Listen, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. See, when you get right with God, hallelujah, it all changes. And in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. I'll tell you, conviction of our sin is uncomfortable, and it is meant to be. As one preacher said, it might have been me. I've said so many things in 53 years of ministry. But I know I have quoted it. Whether I came up with it is doubtful. It's too good for me. Amen. But I probably quoted it about this situation of being absolutely so empty and hollow unless we are filled with God's Spirit Himself. Billy Graham said it first, I am sure, when he said, every man, woman, boy, or girl on this planet has a hole in their heart, so deep, so wide, so vast, only God can fill it. You see, when we try to fill it with someone or something else, it will never, ever be enough. Ever getting, but never having enough. Oh, but getting right with God allows God Himself to fill our life, to come to live and make His abode within us. God and Christ and the Holy Spirit can fill that void that we're trying to fill with sinful practices, with drugs, with alcohol, with other things, and we'll never, ever have enough. Ever getting, but never having enough. That's like drinking from a spring, but never having our thirst quenched. Your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up mine iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Glory to God. Listen to verse 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble, surround me with the songs of deliverance. I've got my song back. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 8 says, I will instruct you, teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which hath no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and the bridle, or they will come to you. In other words, they'll turn around and try to bite you instead of obey you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man that trusts in Him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, hallelujah, all you who are upright in heart. Praise God. David got his sin forgiven. Thank God he got his song back. The joy of the Lord has returned. He's traded barrenness of sin. Hallelujah. He's traded Babylon for the beauty of Jerusalem and forgiveness. Someone has said every true revival has been accompanied by joyous songs and singing. Hallelujah. God's plan for rebellious Israel was not her destruction, but her instruction. Love is intact from the first day of captivity. It was God's plan to save a nation, to restore the joy of salvation, to renew songs of deliverance. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read something else in close. Give me a few more minutes. You know how I am. It's hard to stop. Just put a stop on something that is so gloriously true today. Someone in this listening audience is in Babylon. You don't belong there. You belong in Zion. And you need to come out of Babylon so that God can bless you in Zion. Hallelujah. Let me read a scripture from Revelation, a prophetic scripture. After these things I saw, this is Revelation 18, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great. This is spiritual Babylon, but it's the spirit of ancient Babylon manifesting in the postmodern world. Listen to it. Babylon the Great is fallen. It's reiterated because in the mind, heart, eternal purpose of God, it's already destroyed. It's alive and well when this is spoken, but God's judgment has already been pronounced and it will be soon carried out. Listen, is fallen and is become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You got to understand, dear friend, if you are fraternizing with the world that hates God, that hates Christ, amen, this is what you're in aligning yourself with. Dear friend of mine, if you were ever a Christian, if you are a Christian and continue to do that, how can you justify aligning yourself with the enemies of the God who gave His Son and the Son who gave His life for you? Let me read this. Let me go on and read this. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. It's time for the called out to come out. If your heart is in Zion, then it's time to leave Babylon. It's time to come out, as the scriptures say, come out and be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with the devil, Belial? Come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, saith God. You'll be back right with me. Hallelujah. As it is written, I will walk in them and I will live in them, and they shall be my people and I shall be their God. Oh, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody in this audience is going to come out of Babylon and come home to Zion. Come out of the world and come back, not just to church. Oh, well, you certainly forsake not the assembling of yourself. But before, church can't do what only Jesus can do. That's what going to church teaches us. Hallelujah. Church is no substitute for Jesus. Never meant to be. It meant to be a milestone pointing us to Jesus, a compass putting us back on the right track. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I urge you today, if you are a Christian, don't even think about compromising the faith now. Don't even dare to look back like Lot's wife. The coming of Jesus is so very near, and our gathering to Him, therefore, is very, very soon. Oh, friend of mine, just don't look to the world for what we know can only be found in our relationship, our reconciled relationship with God. Hallelujah. Let's stay clean before the Lord and clear of the pollutions of the world about us. Hallelujah. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you will come to Him. I pray that you will run to Him. For the Bible says of you that you're without hope and without God in the world. It's a terrible state to be in because there's no help other than the physician, the psychologist, the numerologist, whoever you're looking to. There's no help, and therefore there's no hope. Ah, but there's hope eternal. It's called a lively hope, a living hope, that fadeth not away for us in Jesus Christ, who promised to be with us in this life and take us to be with Him in the world to come, age without end. No death, no sighing, no disease, no end. And today, if you are a backslidden Christian, come out of Zion. Run back to Zion. Come out of Babylon. Run back to Zion. In Jesus' name.